And then we're going to be in John chapter 19, reading verses 25 to 27. John 19, starting at verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved, standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Let us give thanks for God's words. Father, as we bring ourselves to your truth, to your scripture, help us to remember that this is your voice. It's not the voice of some small man who stands in front of us, or even a man who would shout it from the highest mountaintop. But rather, this is your word. This is your truth. And so as we bring ourselves to it, Lord, we call upon you in the Holy Spirit to help us to hear your voice through your words. Let us, Lord, be connected with you and your truth and what we're about to face here today, that we remember that you're Christ our Lord. Amen. Gesundheit. Well, as we look at Mary here at the foot of the cross. And actually, you know what? Let's join Mary at the foot of the cross and stand next to her as she looks up onto the cross and she sees her son dying. Let's stand next to Mary then as she looks up there to her son on this cross. He was hanging there and he's dying. He suffered horribly and now even in the throes of death, he still speaks. And I don't think that we should ever look at this like it's just one of those things. I think that as we look at this, we should see it for what it is, where it is, why is it there. If you look at those three verses, just before that, men were casting lots. They were casting lots to see who would get Jesus close. Apparently it was fine material, made out finely, so they didn't want to tear it apart. So they gambled to see who got it as this man dies on the cross. After these three verses, Jesus speaks a few things from the cross. He's thirsty. He says, "It is finished." And then he dies while his mother watches. I don't know about you, but if I was Jesus' mom, and as I stood there and watched my son die on the cross, I would have some questions. Why? Why does this have to happen? How did this happen? How did we get here? What did I do wrong that my son would have to die this way? Now realize, and I do realize myself, that as we look at Mary and we try to see what we learn from these verses, these three verses about Mary and her son, that there's something special going on here. God's at work. God is doing something. And even as Mary is asking these questions, even as she wants to know what's happening to my son, he's given her answers. He's given her answers. And so certainly then, as we gather here in honor of God's word, to worship him, we must understand that whatever God gives us, whatever he does for us, he shows us as well as tell us. He hands us these things so that we can see his work, so that we can see his power, so we can see his glory, so that we can know that he is our God, that he is our Savior, so that we can be comforted. How about that? How about that for some big fat comfort, Mary, that your son is dying on the cross? But Mary shows us something that certainly we can apply and attach to motherhood. And certainly as we look at this, though, we can also attach it to fatherhood. And certainly as we look at this, we can also attach it just to our relationship in Jesus Christ, in the lives that we have, in the lives that we live, the things that we do day in and day out. But we must never ignore the fact that God points this out in this way to us for a reason. He wants us to understand who he is. And he will use hurt and broken people to do that. Now realize that as we look at this, that this isn't the only example of motherhood that we have in Scripture. It's not. But it doesn't stand alone outside of fatherhood, outside of brotherhood, outside of sisterhood, outside of just the hood. I know I'm serious, but you don't have to be. So in these relationships, as they bring these things to us, let's hold in perspective what this really means. And this is what it really means. Love, devotion, faith, and duty. You see, Mary is modeling a faith and a willingness to commit herself to duty that should go to every Christian, not to those just having children, not to those raising children, just to those, but to all of us. But at the same time, we can't ignore the fact that this lesson comes to us in this way. Let me give you a couple examples of that. Real quick, stay there in those three verses. I'm going to just read to you and I'll be right back. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 7 to 8. This is what Paul says to the Thessalonians. Now he's writing these guys and he's trying to help them along. They're having a difficult time, but he's helping them to understand some things and to see the truth. And so as he writes to them in chapter 2, in verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians, he says, instead, we were like young children among you. You not realize he's talking in a familiar sort of way, you know, that we're your family. We were like children with you. We came among you and we were like children. Why did he have to say that? What's the significance of being children among others? Well, because you're looking to them and you're saying we have this relationship of caring between us. But then he says, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So here's this example that these mothers who care for them, these mothers who watch over them, these mothers who take care of them. But notice that Paul is not just talking to the mothers. He is talking to the entire church. He wants them to understand that there's this attitude that as we come into the church, we expect to be mothered. And then as we were there with you in the church, we mothered you. We loved you. And you loved us. You are our family. Now, certainly we can say, well, where's the dads? How come the dads, you know, like a father? Well, you know, that always comes up in discipline, right? You know, when somebody gets kind of that whack to remind them how much we love you, right? But we see this compassion that flows, and Paul is looking for this compassion to let them know we have compassion. And so as he does that then, he holds this out to them, and he's not alone in this. He learned this from his Savior, Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Jesus says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. I wanted you. I wanted you, and you killed all the people that I sent to you. In fact, you're going to kill me. But I loved you. I wanted to get my arms around you like a hen does her chicks." Notice he's saying this to Jerusalem. He wants Jerusalem to understand that. I want to get my arms around you. I wanted just to hold you and protect you and hold you close. But you killed those who I sent, and now you'll kill me. But that's all we ever wanted from you. So if we look at this and we limit ourselves to saying that only the things that Jesus says are the things we have to do. So in other words, you know, motherhood, you know, we talk about Mary Mother, it's about motherhood, you know, and that it's about Mother's Day and it's about all the things of mothers. We have to realize how much we're limiting ourselves to his true message in these things. You see, Jesus doesn't want us to be a bunch of hens. He's not calling for us to be chickens in the physical sense, not the character sense. He's calling us to be this kind of compassion and love to each other. And I don't know about you, but I learned this a long time ago. There are differences between men and women. And if you want to know the difference, you go ask a woman what's the difference between her and a man, and she'll tell you. And if you want to know the difference between a man and a woman, you go ask a man, and he'll tell you. Boy, they're sure different. But as we realize these things, they come out of compassion. This is the tone that they bring them into us. They bring us into this tone of love and mothering, and they want us to understand that there's this compassion that's going on. But how do we have to learn these lessons? What is it we need to do? How are we supposed to bring those into our lives? Well, here we have Mary standing in front of the cross, watching her son die as they have him nailed up there, as he has been beaten, as he has been dragged through the streets or crawled through the streets carrying this cross, that as he goes through all of this, this mother standing there and she's watching her son die. If we were to be protected from that, it would not be in Scripture. But there it stands. And here we sit. As we look upon the cross with Mary, we see all of this taking place. We would be remiss if we didn't look away from the cross for just a minute and look at Mary and see in her where she's come from and see in her, how did this happen? What happened, Mary? What happened to your son? What did you do? How did you let this happen? Because you see, all the way back in the beginning of Luke chapter 1 and 26 and 38, Mary was told she was going to have a baby. She was told by God's angel, by God's messenger. God said, "You're going to have this child. And this child of yours, by the way, Mary, is going to be the Savior of the universe, of the world. He's going to be your salvation in all mankind. He's going to be this to you, Mary," who, by the way, was a human mother, who, by the way, stood in faith in a God that she loved, who, by the way, she handed herself over to this God. You know, she said, "How is this possible?" She didn't say, "Hey, not me. I'm not that one. It's got to be somebody else because I got stuff to do on Saturday." But she became the mother of the Savior. She became Jesus' mom. So she knew that her son was a blessing, and all children are blessings. I agree. But obviously, there was something special going on here. Obviously, there's something different that was taking place in here. That there was this Messiah who has been given over to this human woman to be his mother. But here's the thing that we find in Mary, that she's all human. Truly, her son is all human. But truly, her son is also destined as the Savior of the world. But looking at Mary, we see that her motherhood wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect. As a matter of fact, just a little bit later on in chapter 2 of Luke, in 41 to 52, we find out that she lost him. She lost him. They went up to the festival, the Passover, as they always did every year. And so then, you know, they go up in the groups, they pilgrimage there, and then they celebrate. And so they're on their way home. And Mary looks at Joseph. And she says, what'd you do with Jesus? And Joseph looks back at Mary and says, I thought he was with you. So, no, he was with you. No, he's with you. So they start searching around. They start asking everybody, have you seen Jesus? Get that, right? Right? You got the Savior of the world right there with you, Mom. And you're walking along. And then all of a sudden, it's like, I don't know where he went. He's gone. Well, you know, I can imagine Joseph. He was kind of dad that I was, and I really don't think he was. But, you know, but as you know, as I'm standing there, and Laura Lee's telling me I've lost the Savior of the world, I say something really encouraging and really smart, like, well, how did you do that? He's lost. I can't find him. He's lost. You were supposed to have him. That's how Laura Lee and I argue. It's your fault. No, it's your fault. You lost the Savior of the universe. I didn't. So what do? They go back, and 3 days later, he's gone for 3 days. They can't find him for 3 days. 3 days later, they find him in the temple. And what's he doing? Oh, he's sitting in the corner. He's crying, I can't find my mommy, and I can't find my daddy. No, not Jesus. 12 years old, he's standing in the temple, and he's teaching people stuff. He's teaching all these priests, all these Levites about the things that they're supposed to know about God. And they're listening to this kid. And so Mary comes, you know, hey, where you been? How did you come back here? And why did you do that to me, right? That's what mothers say. Why did you do that to me? How did you hurt me like that? You know, and Jesus says, why are you searching for me? Now that's a 12-year-old thing to say. I wasn't lost, Mom. I knew right where I was supposed to be. Why are you all panicked? Calm down, Mom. But Jesus says, that's right here where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be here doing my Father's will, doing my Father's work. But you see, this is part of the things that we find in Mary, that in her raising her son, she knew he was the Messiah. She was told by angels he was the Messiah. But at the same time, she just kept seeing this human son. That she realized that she was living in a world that she was raising her son, who would be the final message to us in our salvation. And so as she's doing this then, she's doing it just like a human mother would do. She was imperfect. She was imperfect. And as she says to this little kid, you know, this 12-year-old, you know, and he says, and I don't know how tall he was. I'm just looking like this because I'm really short and everybody else has to be shorter than me. And so she's looking at her child, her son, who's been gone for 3 days. And he has this kind of remark that says, I'm doing my Father's work. Why are you looking for me? And now, I don't know if it doesn't say whether Mary threw her arms around this child or tried to fit him with a new neck collar. Usually that's the first response for me anyway, is to get my hands around that little throat, that loving little throat, and to tell him how much I love him. But here, what we see is the beginning of some other things that happened in Mary. And this is the pain of raising her children. She suffers. She suffers a lot. What mother doesn't? What mother doesn't suffer in raising children? What father doesn't? What brother doesn't in being raised with brothers and sisters? What person doesn't suffer? But as we look at this pain and the suffering that she's going through, as we look at these things that happen, we start to realize that as she's raising this child, that there's just all kinds of things that are going on that she's kind of outside of. Because back then in Matthew chapter 12 and verses 46 to 50, you know, there's that time where Jesus is down, now he's grown, he's an adult now, and he's in the city and he's teaching. And so as he's teaching in there, he's causing a lot of fuss. You know, Jesus does that, by the way. Did you know that? Jesus comes in the room, he starts talking, and man, the conflict is on. So he's causing this big stir. And so he's in there, and people are listening, and people are coming. Mary's starting to get a little bit frightened about all of this because her son is drawing this large crowd. She's really worried about his safety. She's worried about what's going to happen to him. So she decides she's going to go down and bring him home. And so when she goes down to bring him home, apparently she thinks that maybe he's not going to come willingly. So she grabs his brothers and says, you come with me. And so she and her two, or not two other sons, but her other sons, as they go to this place to tell Jesus we're here, we've come to collect him and take him home. And so they go inside and they tell Jesus, hey, your mother and your brothers are out there and they came to get you. And Jesus says, who's my mother? Who's my mother? Who are my brothers? And then he looks around at all the people around him and he says, well, here are my mothers and my brothers and my sisters. And, you know, so here's this mom who's standing outside. Tell my son that I'm out here for him. And they come back out and they tell her, he says, he's not your son. He says that all these other people are his mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. You know, he's relating it back to family. He's relating it back to the things that he's here to do. He's here to create a family. And so then as Mary then, you know, she gets this. What does she do? What does she do in this pain that we all know in growing up, in maturing? So she's raising these children. They're causing her pain. Certainly at some point or other, you know, our children look back at us and say, yeah, I remember all the pain you caused me. So yeah, but it's all about that. How is it that we get through this? How is it that we know that there's a tomorrow, there's a future? How do we keep the pain away? How do we keep it from hurting so much? Well, let's take a look now as we stand here with Mary at the foot of the cross as she watches her son die. Now, I know there's a picture up here. And for those of you who might be listening later, the picture is of Mary at the foot of the cross, and she's looking up to Jesus. I love that picture. It is completely inaccurate, but I don't care. I still love it. So that's why we picked it. But here's the thing. Mary would be standing off into a distance. She'd be standing there next to John. And as she's looking at her son, she's got some space in between her. She's not able to reach him because nobody wants them to bring him down. He's there. They're going to leave him there. In this position, they could bring her down. But, you know, there's a plan that's going on. There's something that's taking place that we don't really understand at that moment, and Mary doesn't understand at that moment either. So as we stand there with Mary away from the cross, and we're looking up at the cross, let's look back down then, or rather, let's look away from Mary now and look back up at the cross, at her son. Let's look at her son for just a minute, if we could, if you would do that with me. As we're looking at her son, we realize that all of the things that he did in her life, he wasn't doing it to hurt her. He wasn't doing it to shame her. He was doing it to save her. He was doing it so that you know, that one day then that we would all know that he's the savior of the universe. Remember the kid they lost at 12? You know, ran off. He was the savior of the universe. Now he's exactly where he's supposed to be. Her son is exactly where God, his father, wants him. That she looks up on him, and then we look up on him. We see this human hanging from the cross who was dying there. And we understand that something beyond us is taking place. That somehow or other, this is God's plan. Jesus said it. It didn't just happen. Jesus said, they're going to crucify me. They're going to bury me. I'm going to raise up. And he not just once, but he told them several times that this was going to happen. But now, as we look up at her son, and we see him hanging there, we can also remember that Mary's standing there. That in this plan, that in this God's plan for his son, that God's plan for the Savior of the universe, way back when he told Mary, you're going to have a child, and this child is going to be the Savior, and you're going to raise him up, you know, and that we see that as his son, he was a real kind of a pain, you know, to Mary in a lot of different ways. But as we see then that this son was coming into immaturity, he finally obeyed, he became obedient to his family, he became all the things that he was supposed to be in the human family, even though he was still the Messiah. And that as we see here now, him hanging on this cross and her just standing there, we have to understand that this was on purpose. It was on purpose. Now, we know that Mary was a believer. We know that as Mary looked at her son, that she understood what was going on. But we also know at this point, she didn't accept it. She didn't accept it. Her heart was torn out. Her life was in a shambles. It is not working out the way I wanted it to. It is not happening the way I envisioned that would happen. Why, God? Why, Lord, would you do it this way? Why, Jesus, would you let yourself be killed this way? But it's in God's plan. in what we find in this mother who stands at the foot of the cross with her son dying on the cross, that there's this bond that's going on. There's this bond between this human son and this human mother and this son who is the Messiah, this son who is God himself, incarnate in the world as a man. That we see the two of them together. We see this bond between the three persons. We see the bond between Jesus Christ, Messiah, the Son, Jesus, bar Joseph, and Mary, his mother. That this bond was created in all of the pain and all of the suffering that Mary went into. That all of the things that Mary sacrificed into this son, that she didn't realize that he would one day sacrifice all of this back to her. That she didn't realize that his death was the death that would save us all. You see, as Mary stands here with us and we're all looking back up at Jesus, all of these questions that we have, well, they're answered. They're answered. All of the things that Mary wants to know are being answered in the cross. And I think if Joseph, if he were still alive, and he wasn't at that time, they believe he had died by then, that if he was standing there, he would find his answers too. He would want to know some things. You know, hey, how come God, you gave me a son that's not really out of my loins? How come you gave me a son that's now made me a stepfather? How come you did this, God? You know, remember that all of these things are taking place that you know, we look at ourselves and we kind of start throwing some judgment and some measure on ourselves. And I don't think that we should ever stop doing that, but what we need to do is we need to make sure that we have the right measures. You see, as Mary looks up at that cross and we're standing there looking up there with her, we have to remember what she sees. She sees hope, because she believed that he was the Messiah. She just didn't know what that meant. None of them would have true faith until after he was risen from the grave. But as she's looking up there, she has hope. At the same time she's looking up there, she has distress. She has all of the pain that she had growing up with him and growing him up and raising him up. But you see, that's a faith walk. That's a faith walk. That's what we all go through as we walk in Jesus Christ. As we walk and you know, we look away from the cross for a little bit and we're kind of trotting along and all these horrible things are happening to us. All of these things that cause us distress. Well, where are you supposed to look for hope? What are you supposed to do to answer those questions? That, you know, that, is this it? Is this it? Is this all we're going to do? And you say, no, you look up at the cross. You want to save your church. Look up at the cross. You want to save Bolivar, Shingle House, Little Genesee, any other town you want to throw in that blank. Whatever you want to throw in there, you want to save them, look up at the cross. The answers are there. You want to have a good relationship with a boyfriend. You want to have a good relationship with your husband or your wife. You want to have a good relationship with your mom and your dad. You want to have one with your brothers and your sisters. You know, and you're not sure what's going on in these things. How come all these things between me and my friends aren't working out? You look up at the cross. The answers are all in there. They're all right there in this one man, this one son, this one Savior who is dying there on this cross. He is our hope. You can understand then, if you're measuring yourself from the world, how you would not have any hope. You see, this is the thing that concerns me most about this message today. This is what concerns me most, is that even we inside this building, even we as Christians, sometimes we look at parents and we say good or bad. Sometimes we say good or bad. That's a good parent. That's a bad parent. You know who's guilty of that the most? Me. I look back on my life and I see all the good things I did. I see all the bad things I did. But that's not how it's measured. It's not measured in the things that you say are good or bad, right? It's measured in the things that God says, these are sins against me. And that he says, these are the things of my obedience I called you to do and you didn't do that. That's called sin. You see, but we measure it on things that we want to put in our pocket or that we want to put in our journals or that we want to write on a list somewhere. Here's all the good things I did. But I got to tell you, as a man talking whose heart wasn't changed until later in life into Jesus Christ, who has not one child who walks in Jesus Christ, that I understand Mary's pain. I understand all of her questions. But the fact of the matter is that if I measure myself based on the things that you call a good parent or that you call a good husband or you call a good father and all these things, then I'm never going to have hope. You're never going to have hope if you keep measured in the things of the world. There was a time that as I was going through there was a time when I was going through the wreckage of my family, the one that I was destroying. That as I was going through all of that time, that I started to wonder, would it have been better if I had never had one? Wouldn't it have been better for them if they had never been born under my care? And so for the longest time I lamented and over that family, and then I lamented over the one that I was actually born into. And I've been praying for God for a long time. Is this God? Is this God what I get? And I prayed on that and I lived in on that. I looked up at the cross and I looked for my hope. I held myself to his standard and not the standard of the world. And guess what he did? He gave me a whole family. He placed me in the arms of those who wanted to treat me like their son. He placed me into the arms of those who wanted to treat me like their brother or like a father. You see, Jesus was not born of Joseph. That makes him a stepson. Jesus grew up under the care of Joseph and Mary. They had a broken family. So that means all the brothers that came to him were seconds, stepbrothers. See, they didn't measure up to any of the standards of the world. You see, I'm very envious of some of the families that we have here in this church that that I look at and I say, man, you're raising your kids under God and in Christ. I hear them talking about the Bibles and I hear them reading the Bibles. I hear them praying. And it's like, man, please, God, why did this happen to me? Why? Why? Is it purposeless that your son is hanging on the cross? Is there no reason for him to really be dead? But that's not true. He died for a purpose, a divine purpose. But then God, is there a purpose that his mother had to watch, or his mother had to see this happening in her lifetime, that she watched herself? Why could she be dead like Joseph? Wouldn't that have been more merciful? But no, she watched it all. Because it had a purpose. It had a purpose. You see, what we need to take from this and what we need to find in ourselves in this is that what's happening is that Mary is devoting her child to God. Even if he didn't rise from the dead, Mary had fulfilled her duty and her responsibility and her faith. That whether this child actually belonged to her or not, she still did the same thing. That whether that child belonged to John or not doesn't matter. You see, Jesus says, hey, disciple, hey, woman, okay, now woman, this is your son. Son, this is your mother. Jesus provided for her all the way to the very end. Someone was going to take care of his mother when he couldn't physically take care of her. But that he would be with her always. But he made sure, according to the things of the world, he made sure that was taken care of. That was his responsibility. That was his duty. He fulfilled it. And then he fulfilled the one he had to God. You see, as we look at this and we bring ourselves to this understanding and devoting children to God, you are the children that are being devoted to God. You are the children who are being given over to him. You are a living sacrifice to your God. And we say, well, what does that mean? How am I supposed to do that? You're supposed to love him like he's your dad. You're supposed to love him like your father said, but I got one. I got one. He's pretty good. He does all right. He says, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is something eternal. We're talking about something spiritual. We're talking about all of the things that you're holding against yourself. And this man died so that you could be forgiven for your sins. So that this man died so that you could understand all the purpose of your life. So hand yourself over to the purpose of your God. You see, there is no reason for me to lament or feel sorry for myself, because all of that's a mess. Because God gives me new. God made me new. He shows me, says, here's now the thing that you can do and show me your love. Here's the thing that you can do that you can help others. If you dropped your child off at my doorstep, please don't, but I'm just saying if you did. If you dropped your child off at my doorstep and you left forever and ever, I would treat that child like the father that God has made me to be. I would hope that you would do the same. You have a purpose, Faith Bible. You have a purpose in life, in walking in Jesus Christ, and He shows it to you every day. Don't let go of it. Don't miss it. It's right here in front of you, and it hangs on the cross. Back in 1 Samuel 1, in verses 25 to 28, there was another mother. Her name was Hannah. Hannah couldn't have any children. She prayed to God and she said, "Could I have a child?" But she never changed her faith. Even when she thought she would never have one, Hannah continued to be faithful to God. Because she said, "I don't know why it has to be like this, but I'm going to be like this until you say it's going to be different." And then God gave her a child. And in her prayer, she said, "Well, I devote my son to you, Lord. I will give him back to you in your service." And so, on the day that she weaned him, in other words, he was able to be on his own, she took him back to the temple. And she gave him over to Eli. And said, "Lord, you were, not Lord Jesus, but Lord Eli, you know, our priest. You were there when I prayed this. You were there when I gave my devotion to God, and you were there when I devoted my son to God, even before he was born." This is parenthood. This is parenthood. Giving yourselves to God. You can't help your children if you don't believe. You can't help anybody if you don't believe. But we must bring ourselves to this devotion so that others then can benefit it. But even as we look into suffering and the things of our lives, have children, don't have children, have 1,000 of them, we still have to realize that they're in God's plan. They are in God's hands. That as we look upon the cross, that we realize that the man who died for them, he died for a reason, and he died so that they would have a purpose, so that our lives would have a purpose, so that his children would have purpose. You have purpose. Live it out. For Jesus. I made one commitment. You know, Laura and I went to our conference this past week. And I tell you, I learned a lot. I mean, so much that it really made my head hurt. And it really made Laura's ears hurt because I came back every night and tried to tell her everything I learned. You think you get preached to, you ought to live with her for a while. But here's the one statement that I have for you today that sums up my time away from my family that I realized through all things. Jesus is my life. Father, we just thank you so much for all that you do for us. I thank you for this family, Lord. I thank you that you continue to grow me in them and help me to be loved by them. And I know, Lord, that as we look into this day and worship you and praise you, that we will not turn away from you. We will recognize all of the things that are going on around us. We will support those things in us that we don't really understand, but we know that you're causing to be here. We will look at your words, Lord, and even the smallest of pieces, we will make it ours. We will listen and we will hear. And so I thank you, Lord, that you give me a family that wants to hear these words, that wants to know your truth and to hear your message, even when it's only delivered by a small broken man. So I thank you, Lord, and I ask that you continue to work on your family in the Holy Spirit. Bring us all to this understanding and love that you've given us in love and devotion and through our duty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.